pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Hey, listeners, want to get a chance to chat with me live? On March 23rd, you'll get your chance. Listen after this episode for more details. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Before we get started, one thing you guys will notice, probably this episode and last episode, our audio sounds a little bit different. We're trying to mix things up. We are actually not in the same room this time. We're recording over the internet. Humorously enough, one of the things we noticed when we first started, we were doing our audio test, Chris, the player of Tegan, to us anyway, sounds like a host of NPR. Do you want to go ahead and give us a little sample of that there, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you come to the NPR station, you want to be listening to smooth jazz with Steve. And then when you go to the next station, you want to listen to a little bit of PR with the next race is going to come on and we're going to have fun. And yeah, I really like this microphone. This is not even mine. This is Mark's microphone. I think I'm keeping it or buying them from him or stealing it from three.
Yeah, fair enough. So anyway, I'm going to go around the table. What was that, Mark?
It's my mic.
Just look where he puts it and then, you know, take it.
Where did he put the mic?
Not looking.
On that note, we'll go ahead and get started really quick with introducing everyone here around the table. So, Brian, who are you playing this time?
Oh, I'm playing Hup. Oh, wait. that would be hilarious. We need to try that. I'm playing Athir, and he's the elf fighter for the group.
Okay. And Chris?
I am playing I'm playing Tegan Stumbleduck, the gnome sorcerer. Very right. Short and very mysterious.
And Mark?
I am playing Athir as a fool.
Oh, nice one.
I am playing Hup Bottlesworth, a human rogue. A dashing human rogue, I might add.
There you go.
And last but not least, Chris.
I am playing Jethal Zahn, a elf wizard.
All right. So last time, our heroes encountered a woman that was following them as they were making their way down into the middle of the town and eventually ultimately to the drunken gnome. But before they could, they noticed that she was following them. And as soon as Hup was able to identify who she was, he realized that she was actually, as far as he could tell, woman that he...
Oh, that's right.
A woman who was previously believed to be dead in a previous encounter they had with her.
That's a bunch of junk. We buried her under rock. There's no way her.
I know you did. But as soon as they identified her, however, before they could figure out what was going on, she ran. And in an attempt to figure out who she is and why she's spying on them, they quickly take pursuit towards her. So, before we go ahead, Hup, you were using stealth, so you can use stealth for your initiative, but everyone else, go ahead and roll me a perception for your initiative.
I got a mighty 12.
I got a 20.
How many dice are you rolling with, Athir, to get a 24?
You know, I rolled well. What can I say?
All right. So I'm going to go around the table here really quick. Jethal, what'd you get?
20.
20. All right. And Tegan, what'd you get?
I got a 12.
And Hup, what'd you get?
I don't know.
We'll come back to you. And Aether, what'd you get?
I got a 24.
All right. Well, we're back to Hup again.
I got a modified 20.
Modified 20. All right. So Jethal and Tegan both got the same result. It looks like Tegan has the higher bonus. I'm sorry, Hup has the higher bonus. So we will go ahead and sort that out. So up first, again, this woman who you still don't actually know her name is running away, and you she's not hiding as well as she's sprinting away, but you don't know where she's going. And Aether, you are first in the attempt to catch her. What are you going to do?
Do I still see her?
In the distance, yes, you can see where she's at.
Okay.
She's going from rooftop to jumping down onto like a tarp above a shop, and then probably rolling off onto the ground and taking run down a nearby alley.
I want to try to go full tilt and try to catch up to her.
Okay, so just a straight up sprint.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds like an athletics check to me.
Okay. All right, go ahead and roll that. Oh, sweet. I got a 13.
All right. That is not a success. So, you go sprinting off after her, and you are making really good headway after her. You're getting close. One thing that you notice as you're sprinting after her, though, is she is fairly agile, despite how quick she is, and she makes a very quick right turn. Unfortunately, with the momentum you have a much harder time making a right turn. You kind of pass by the alley that she ducks down when she turns. But we'll see. Up next is Hup, who is also taking chase. How does he fare?
So do I see him kind of missing the quarter and kind of doing that whole cartoon? As he kind of misses the quarter and then has to backtrack?
Pretty much, yeah. That's almost exactly what you see.
So I'm going to kind of do something similar. So is it like a crowded merchant areas? I mean, because we're kind of in a merchant-y area, right?
So yes, there are plenty of other people around.
Yep.
She's probably in an alley that's less populated, but she's running away from a road that was very populated.
Yep. So I'm going to basically I'm basically running down the alley, sliding underneath shopkeeper stalls and jumping over barrels and basically trying to make the shortest possible path instead of just running headlong like athletic.
Okay. Sounds like acrobatics check to me.
That sounds like the perfect thing for me. I rolled a modified 16.
All right. That is a success. So you are at one success and one failure.
And as I come into the corner, I look at a fear and I just kind of wink and say, that's how you do it, buddy.
How many successes and fails for this challenge?
You need, when you get to 3 failures, you fail the challenge. When you get to 8 successes, you succeed at the challenge.
Great.
Awesome. So,
to start us off right, Ian.
Don't forget, you still have your, everyone has their one hero point you're allowed to use for a reroll.
Okay.
So if you need to.
Do we have anyone else that we're using that before we know the success or failure?
You can use that after you know the results.
Okay.
Obviously, unless if the person after you has already gone, you can't go back. I'm not going to let Aether roll it now. But
can I use Hups? Point reroll mine.
well, good try.
Oh, okay.
Hup does pretty much exactly what he was describing as he ducks underneath a cart and kind of cartwheels over top of another one, kind of seeing where she's about to duck into, and probably actually runs through a door of a building coming out the window of another one and comes about right in front of her, and she immediately stops, unexpectedly seeing Hup right in front of her. Jethal.
Yeah, I would like to... what was I going to do now? I would like to just cast Grease right below her.
Okay. So you're going to go ahead and cast a spell that would be an Arcana check.
Yep. Sure would. I have a plus 8. So that's a 20.
All right, a 20 is a success. So you are at 2 successes and 1 failure. So,
the grease goes on the hood of the car that Hup slides across.
It lands so, right as you slide, yes.
Yeah, them Duke boys.
Duke's hazard, that takes you back.
Wow. So, yeah, you get there. She, Chris, stopped in her tracks as Hup leapt out of a building at her. And she goes to turn and run the opposite direction and finds that the ground is considerably more slick than it was when she first took off. And she quickly slips and falls and stands back up as she's trying to scramble back to her feet to get away. At this point, Tegan is just about to round the corner. What would you like to do?
I would like to do a flying gnomish football tackle.
That sounds like an athletics check, then.
No. I want to do it kind of flourishy. I want to jump off a couple of buildings while I do it with a couple of tumbles and dives.
So he's going to tumble around and then bluntly land on top of her?
Okay, how about a sweep?
Okay, you're going to trip her. That'll give an acrobatics check.
Sweet. Man.
You're the risky
I'm just imagining this gnome just tumble, and then just like land on somebody.
With my butt. That's what I would do.
All right. What'd you roll?
I rolled a 15 modified.
That is a success. So with your acrobatics check, she barely scrambles back to her feet, and you just kind of slide, using the grease to your advantage, just kind of slide, have a cool little pose while you're doing it as you go by, and trip her back onto her on her face, at which point she now is trying to figure out the best way to get out now that she's essentially surrounded by a greasy gnome and Tegan and...
greasy gnome.
Aren't they all greasy?
Hey, so, depends on who you ask, but so Hup's on one. Hup's blocking her path one way. Jethal is partially blocking her path the other way, and also having cast grease. Tegan sliding past her, and Aether is coming back around after having barely overrun the alley. So he's coming back around. And what would you like to do now? As a reminder, as part of the rules of the skills challenge, Lord Kensington's rules of skill challenges, what you used last time and what the person immediately before you used are not eligible. So you can't use either athletics or acrobatics right now.
All right. I want to see if I can distract her somehow so that she's paying attention to me and so that she misses her alley instead of me.
Okay. How are you distracting her?
I want to yell at her and try to get her attention and
show off your leg.
There's a greasy gnome behind you.
Okay. Pay no attention to that ugly human that's running around.
You have a few options because there's really three social skills. You have diplomacy, which is you're trying to convince her of something. Deception, which would be you're trying to get her to get her to be distracted by something. And intimidated is look at me. So which of those are you going to go with?
How about look at me?
All right. So
I actually have intimidation.
Okay, so you're going to essentially just get her attention by scaring her.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do something like
look
that.
Look at me, what else?
All right.
Roll Ratter.
What'd you roll?
I had rolled a 22. Is that a bit better this time?
That's a little bit better. I'd say that's better. So that is a success. And immediately, so after getting tripped by a greasy gnome, she looks back up and you're standing right over her. And pretty much tell her something along, you got to come with me, like in a very guard, police officer-esque tone. At which point she just like in terror doesn't take her eyes off of you and she's just scrambling and almost not really going anywhere, scrambling on top of the grease, trying to get away. Up.
So
it's a rather one-sided skills challenge.
So I'm going to use my thievery skill to try to steal her heart.
Oh, no.
I'm going to roll a 19 on that.
What?
Okay. I'll allow it, but I want you to explain a little bit more exactly what you're doing.
So I'm sliding across the grease, right?
Great. Now we got two grease. Oh.
So this is like, you know, paper, pencil, and dice on ice. You know, just
right. Absolutely. This is exactly what it looks like. Think of Risky Business sliding across the ice, kind of giving it a little look. I've dropped trowel. I'm sliding across with my underwear. I'm just going to give it a look. Give it a little cowboy bang bang shot things at the thing. That's how I'm doing it. It looks all right. Pretty bad.
So the thievery check, what'd you roll on your thievery check there?
19.
All right. Well, that was really the quick release on getting your pants off. So you successfully remove your pants, throw them against one wall, and gracefully slide across the grease in front of her, at which point she's not sure which is more terrifying, the pantsless rogue sliding past her or the elven fighter who's threatening to take her to jail at this point.
Remember, I'm doing the whole bang bang with my fingers, too. Don't forget that detail.
She's kind of paralyzed with fear from two different directions at this point. So we're going to next jump over to Jethal.
Oh, man. I don't know how to follow that up. I think I'm going to try and kind of appeal to her as the good guy. So kind of try and deceive her in that way.
We're doing a good cop, bad cop, weird cop?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
I thought I was the good cop in this one.
Nope.
in your own story, sure. All right. So, so you're going to try, like, what are you saying to her to try to convince her that you're on her side?
I'm going to be like, hey, sorry about that guy over there. Let me, just come on over here with me. We'll, you know, I'll save you from him.
All right. That sounds like a diplomacy.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll it.
I rolled a whopping 2.
All right. And so what's the overall?
I'm sorry, an 8. An 8 overall.
8 is not a success.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
So.
Weird cop looks pretty good right now, huh?
So as Jethal comes over and is like, I'm really sorry about you, these guys. It kind of comes less along the ways of you should trust me and more that he's just ashamed in the rest of his party. and
just enough. It's fine.
And so eventually the three of you start talking to each other as far as who's the weirder one, and you're trying to get her to get your attention.
The weirder one.
And at this point in time, she takes the quick moment that you guys are distracted, and she pulls this interesting item out of her vest. It looks like some sort of a triggered item. It's got a handle on it, a trigger, and it looks like there's like a grappling hook at the end, and she shoots it and it hooks onto the rooftop of a nearby building, and she quickly starts pulling herself up the wall. Up next is Tegan.
Well, so much for diplomacy. That's where I was going next. Let's try. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to assume that I'm not crazy, that she's not the same person. So I'm going to shout something like, I know what you are. If we catch you again, I will light you on fire and you won't survive. Get back down. Something like that. So I'm basically taking a gamble that she is undead or something like that. Something that got reanimated or something. Explains maybe her agility and all that other stuff.
All right. Go ahead and you're doing intimidate, you said?
No, deception. I'm basically deception. Gambling.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Trying to bluff her that you know what she really is.
Yeah. And if I know what she really is, then maybe that'll... 26.
All right. That is a success. And she seems caught off guard. So as she's climbing up, she looks back. She doesn't say a word, but you can kind of see in her eyes that she is very concerned and at the same time curious. How could you possibly know whatever it is that you know?
Cool.
But you were very convincing in explaining to her that you know what she really is.
Upon hearing this, Hup seems crestfallen that maybe he's fallen for an undead.
Oh, jeez.
He pantsed for an undead, dude.
All right, up next is Aether.
All right, how many successes do we have so far?
You have 6 successes and 2 failures.
All right.
So one more failure, we'll lose it all, but you need 2 more successes to win it all.
How about I try to parkour up the wall and try to grab a hold of her ankle as she's grappling hook up the wall? How about that?
Okay. I could see an argument for either athletics or acrobatics for that. Probably more acrobatics, but
okay.
I'll let you choose.
Let's just do acrobatics.
Okay.
How about a 20?
20 is a success. So as she kind of regains her composure after having her what she is cover blown by Tegan, she begins climbing back up. But before she gets to the top, Aether was able to scramble up the wall fairly quickly using flagpoles and tarps and anything else, and makes it pretty far up the wall and is standing at the top of the roof by the time she gets there. So now at this point, Aether and this woman are at the top of the wall together, and back down on the ground, pantsless, is Hup Bottomsworth.
I am going to stealthily. So she went up a building, you said, right?
Yeah, she used a grappling hook and made it up the building.
So I'm going to try to use stealth to get into the building quickly, stealthily, and try to find an alternate way up the building, like from the inside.
All right. I'll allow it.
And that is a modified 20.
That is a success. All right. So you make it up the building, and you didn't have time to put your pants back on. But
no, I knew that.
You are able to hide the fact that you're pantsless from all the other people inside the building as you duck in, find a ladder, and climb up and show up on the same rooftop along with Aether.
So I just picture him like going through the building. The pants are still stuck around his ankles, and he's just shuffling along. That's the reason why he's stealthy. Is he's just not moving very fast.
Exactly.
He's waddling up the steps. I'll pick up Hup's pants because I'm a nice guy, and I'm already covered in grease, too, so I'll take my pants, or his pants, up to him on the roof.
I mean, I'll clean you up. I can just
the moment you dismiss the spell, all the grease goes away.
Oh,
so.
Mm-hmm. There goes half my disguise.
Yeah.
So, on your way up, all right, so the two of you guys are up at the top. Tegan will be up there shortly. And Aether will probably, or I'm sorry, Jethal will probably be up last. So mm-hmm. Aether and Hup, you pretty much have her cornered at the edge, and she really has nowhere to go at this point.
Grab her hands. Don't let her put anything in her mouth. So can I use an initiative to try to grapple her?
You're out of combat or out of the skill challenge at this point, but you can declare that you can grapple her.
Okay, I'm going to grapple her so she can't be swallowing any cyanide pills or.
Okay. She did appear to, like, just before you did, she was reaching to go grab something out of a pouch, but she didn't get to it in time.
Okay, so taking her pouch away from her to check for EpiPens.
Oh, okay, there were no EpiPens. There is a little, a small pill sized rock in there that looks very similar to the one you took out of the other guy.
We should just kind of stealthily put that sleight of hands in my own pouch so that.
You're not wearing pants. Where's your pouch?
Well,
you don't want to know.
It's about imagination. This game is about imagination. Use your imagination.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that what we're doing?
What's that?
Don't mind the sounds, people. Adobe's trying to update something.
All right. So anyway, so Hup just stops while he performs some updates for a moment.
Hold on.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Nope. I know. I'm just going to turn off this. What in the? It's like updating every single. I've got 30 applications. It's going to update.
Should we pause the recording here?
Yep. Just let me just pause for a second.
Well, natural one, apparently.
We're good to go now, guys.
Why did I roll a natural one? That's
well, you have a 1 in 20 chance.
This is true.
But the interesting fact is that it does not take into account Pathfinder 2E should be a negative 10 to that.
Yes, that is not factored in. You are correct on that. All right, so we will restart in 3, 2, 1, go. All right, so you guys, you have her hand held. You stole the rock out of her pocket. And are you guys doing anything else?
We're going to make sure she has nothing, no weapons, basically.
I'll restrain her.
Yeah, make sure she has no ability to get to anything that might cause any type of interrogation to go south on us again.
Okay. She did have, it's no longer in her possession right now, but she did have that grappling hook shooting thing.
Is that magical or is it mechanical?
That is mechanical. At a quick glance at it, it looks like it takes about like 5 minutes or so to load it back up again. But you can shoot essentially a grappling hook you could actually even shoot it as a weapon if you just want to shoot someone with a grappling hook.
I think that might be a good thing to just pocket for ourselves.
But it's essentially one shot and then it takes 5 minutes to load the hook back in again.
Yep. But I mean, if you need to get up a wall.
Yeah, you need a quick escape. Yeah. You need to Batman your way out of something.
Who's this Batman? Would you speak?
Batman.
So, you find that she has a dagger on her. And she does have a small pouch in her that's attached to a string. She can take that as well. Other than that, she actually seems very minimally armed or armored. In fact, it's a little almost suspicious how little armored she is. Like, she has very little concern for herself, her physical self being, and more, she was more concerned about not getting caught.
Sure. Does she seem room temperature?
She does, in fact.
It was guess, guys. I don't know if it's real or not. I was just a guess.
Good guessing. Give him a nod and a wink. Good job.
Can I do a religion check to see if she is some sort of dead, undead, reincarnated, or something like that?
Sure. As far as knowing that, it may be fairly difficult, but you're welcome to make the check.
Oh. Is there something better than religion?
No, that would be the most accurate.
I'd still check it. Oh, you could do medicine, see if she's...
You do medicine, you could do religion, or you could do arcana. Any of those three.
All right. I did religion. I got a 16.
Okay. That tells you that she is, as far as you can tell, she is the same person you helped bury back in the ambush.
So the last one we buried was a cleric, right?
She was.
Pastor. So that's kind of who's got the best intimidation or diplomacy checks. I've only got 5 there.
Oh, I'm awesome at either of those.
So I kind of, it's like, I think we put you in front of as the lead investigator on this bad boy, right? Figure out what we can get out of her. True.
Right, does anyone want to make either a medicine or an arcana check? I'll let you guys have one try at each.
I'll do an arcana check.
Okay.
I've got nothing in those
two. It's only an 11.
All right. So the best you're able to figure out is that the reason she's here is magical, but beyond that, you don't really understand much more detail beyond that.
I'm interested.
What about art lore? Could we do an art lore check here?
I mean, she looked pretty.
Don't you have medicine?
I have 0 in medicine.
And so do I.
Okay. With all you want to do kind of a investigation, like kind of question of who she is, who she's looking for, that type of thing.
You can ask her. You can ask her questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I think Jethal has to kind of run that, right? Because he's going to be doing the rolls.
I walk up and slap her and say, "Who are you?"
That's diplomacy, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah, so you you walk up and are rather rude to her.
Yes.
But when you do, yeah, she goes, she looks at you straight in the face and goes, "I am Silveria Frost."
Silveria Frost.
That doesn't mean anything.
Can I do like a sense motive or something on her to see if she's actually telling us the truth?
Sure. That would be a perception.
I got 11. Yeah.
Very perceptive.
She might be. She's probably telling the truth. yeah, so she says her name is Silveria Frost, and she goes, "And yes, your suspicions are true. I did die before you. But we Dreadcrowns never remain dead."
"Please explain. I'm very interested.
How is this? This is a secret our clan has held for years. We're not going to share it with the likes of you."
I slap her again and say, "Tell me now."
"I can't. You took the one item I can use to show you."
She got another cross in that pouch? Who's got the pouch?
And I look at Huff and say, "Do you have the item?"
"I think I have her pouch, yes." "So
may I see it?"
I don't give the rock back. I'm palming that, but I'm willing to give up everything else.
So you give the pouch to Jethal,
right?
Or to her?
To Jethal. I would never give anything to her. I don't trust her.
Probably a good move. So you give it to Jethal. Jethal opens up the pouch, and inside there is a holy symbol.
She got another one.
I pull the holy symbol out and say, "This?"
She goes, "No."
And this makes sense because we took the other one.
She points over, and it's like just a really mundane wood one. She points over at Hup, and it's by the way the same holy symbol you saw before, or same god anyway. She points over at Hup and goes, "He has what I need to show you."
Hey, I tried to steal her heart, but it didn't seem like it worked.
I look at Hup. "Do you have something else?"
"I tried to steal her heart, buddy. That's all I try to do. I say we rip it out of her."
I want to see if he's telling the truth.
Okay, I'm gonna try the same deception again. The same deception check. I know what you are, and I'm gonna put produce flame. I'm gonna do the flame, except throwing it. I'm just gonna produce it in my hand in front of her.
So you're gonna do an intimidate this time?
Still a deception. Same thing.
I don't necessarily know holding fire in front of someone's face makes you more deceiving.
Well, because I'm bluffing. I really don't. I don't know if she's undead and she's or vulnerable to fire or whatever.
So how does the fire help you in making her believe the same thing?
Because that's what I told her when she was climbing the wall. I said, "I know what you are, and I will set you ablaze, or I will set you on fire."
So he's not going to really set her on fire, but he's trying to deceive that he will actually do it.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. So go ahead and roll it.
I'm bluffing again. And this time, hopefully, there's no one. Or there can be a one. That would be...
No, that was two.
That was... Yeah. That, never mind.
So you do that, and she reaches up, and there's one other thing that you see on her. She reaches up, and on her hand, you see, like, it looks on her left hand, it looks like there's a tattoo of a skull. She reaches up, and she's trying to scratch at the tattoo.
Can we detect magic on the tattoo?
Sure.
It's gonna be magical.
It is magical.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to make you guys roll the spell. Pretty much, one, you're able to tell it is, but if anyone does cast the spell, it is absolutely magical.
And it's on the back of her hand, you said?
It's on the back of her left hand, yes.
So it's like a la Death Eater, Harry Potter type tattoo.
I mean, it's not like there's no really cool ornate snake thing or anything like that in there. It's just a skull. It's a smiling skull, but it's a skull. And she's struggling against you.
It's a have a nice day skull.
And Aether's the one holding her arms right now, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, she's struggling against you, trying to scratch at it, but Aether is strong enough that he's pretty much preventing her from making much headway on it.
So is there anyone have the ability to figure out if she's, well, how about if she is undead, would that be a cult?
That would be a religion.
Yeah, and I tried, and I didn't. I rolled okay, but not great. I rolled a 16. I couldn't tell. So I think
I'd like to grab her hand and look at the tattoo a little bit more that she's trying to scratch at.
Go ahead and give me another Arcana check.
Yep. Jeez, I can't roll tonight now, apparently. It's a 10.
So this has to do something with necromancy magic, is what you're able to derive of it.
Okay. Necromancy, eh?
Do we know if she's like a zombie or like a...
If she's a what?
Like a fast zombie versus a slow zombie or a...
Well, one thing you're able to tell is she's not cold to the touch.
She's not
She has a pulse. She's not dead. It's for all the normal ways you know to check if someone's alive or dead, as far as you can tell, she's not dead.
Gotcha. I thought we determined she was room temperature earlier.
No. You asked if she was warm or cold, and I said warm.
Oh, gotcha.
If I said room temperature, I was mistaken.
Gotcha.
So.
No. If we were outside, it would be hard to be at room temperature outside. I'd say is there any wagons? Is there wagons or carts or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, you're in a marketplace. There's lots of wagons and carts around.
I say we bonk her on the head, knock her out, throw her in her cart. We'll pull her back to our inn, tie her up there. We can kind of come back because we're probably running out of time. We need to get to the to Drunken Gnome, right?
Yeah. At this point, you guys probably spent a good while chasing after her. I know we kind of sped through it narratively, but what we're going to say that you guys spent between going to Saeed, walking around town, and this whole altercation, you probably have about an hour before you need to be at the Drunken Gnome.
Yeah, I see we kind of put her on ice for a little bit.
I don't think we've got time to take her back to the hotel or the inn and make it to her appointment. Do we?
I think we just have enough time.
If you would be pressing the time, but you probably barely have enough time for that.
So what if we sent Aether, kind of your point man? Because I would suggest we go in differently, like not go as a group into the Drunken Gnome, because I think that opens us up to too much risk. So
I agree. Kind of, and he's the one that got the message.
Right. So put him up. You know, they need a little little human sacrifice. Just someone to talk to.
We need a meat shield? Is that what you're saying?
I would never say that about my good friend right here.
So I'll do an unarmed strike and knock her out.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a strength check to see how hard you hit her.
But I'm a martial artist. I don't use strength. How hard I hit her?
Well, when you do martial arts, it still is, unless you actually have the monk class, you don't get to add anything else to it. It's still an unarmed strike with your strength.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't be the one doing it then. But I'll do it anyway, see what happens. Oh, all right. I'll do that great.
You never know.
I broke
so all of us are going to take turns.
Yeah. Just striking ooh, it ooh, her out.
I mean, I've already slapped her a couple times, so.
No one has the sleep spell or nothing?
No.
I do have the light spell. How about that? Would that help?
No. I don't think this would last for...
It's just a strength check, so that's awesome.
Roll it.
Yeah. trying to do a minus.
Actually, that's not that bad. You are able, despite the fact that you're not that big and not that strong, you are able to get a solid punch in and she goes out.
Really? All right.
Give it to the gnome. Look at that.
I must have punched her in a very...
little fist. Big power. Yeah. Right in the solar plexus.
Only 3 points, only with 3 pounds of pressure on the carotid artery is all you need.
That's the spirit right there.
If you punch it hard enough, it is a clotted artery.
Exactly. So I see we throw her into a cart, haul her to the inn, sneak her upstairs, yep. Put her on ice, and
make sure you tie her to where she can't scratch that mark.
Yep. Do we have time to find ice?
Yes, we will stop on the way. I saw a handy mart on the way.
Do they have an ice machine in this inn?
No, I saw a handy mart on the way back. So it will come.
Excellent.
Just tie her where she can't move her hands and her feet apart from each other, and then dagger mouth, and we're done.
Paint a pentagram on the ground.
No.
All right. Pay no attention to these guys dragging this woman into the inn.
Exactly. That was
That's
my
how we have a rogue with us. It'll be fine.
It's me, Mom.
Wait. Did you just find out, like, don't worry, he's a rogue. It's okay for us to drag a woman into the inn.
He just ran through a store with his pants off and didn't get caught. He can run through an inn with a woman.
He stealthed through a store with his pants off.
Well, he can stealth with a body over his shoulder then.
Yeah, that doesn't make him invisible, though.
We should probably get back his pants before he tries to.
Yeah, that's somehow even worse. Pantsless guy carrying a woman over his shoulder into a building.
What we can do is put a pair of pants on her and make her look like the front part of a horse, and we can kind of just...
Then they'll be like, why are you bringing a horse in here?
Hey, buddy. Don't
By
be
the way,
touchy.
Where's Fred
don't
at?
Be
Fred's probably like, what the heck?
Probably. Are you seeing other horses?
Don't be too judgy there, buddy.
All right. So anyway, yeah, you drop her off. So back at the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And... once you then leave the horse's cellar, you have just enough time to get to the Drunken Gnome. Who all is going to the Drunken Gnome?
Aether will go.
Yeah, we're all going. We're just going in a different order.
Yeah, we'll just kind of mingle in separately.
Okay.
Set up different.
So Aether is going first?
Yes.
Would you like me to accompany you, Aether?
If you would like. I know Andrew pretty well, so we should be fine.
Sure. I'll accompany him alongside him, basically.
All right. So you go into the Drunken Gnome and taking drinks. Sitting at one of the tables by himself is Andrew the Orc. And meanwhile, you see there's the bartender wiping down the table. There's a couple other people, you know, just having a good time, you know, arm wrestling or what have you throughout the building. But it seems to be a pretty light time at the moment. Andrew looks up the moment you walk in and he goes, how's it going?
Can not I do too bad, Andrew.
You're not here yet, Tegan.
Oh, I'm not?
No. Aether's here.
Aether.
Oh, Tegan's not.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute here. Okay, yeah. Focus. All right, we're talking to Andrew. Not too bad. I hear that you might have an offer of 10 drunken gnomes.
He kind of chuckles at that. He goes, in a manner of speaking, and on the note of the bit of gin. Don't worry about that part. I spoke with Hammond. And you did a real solid save in Matar, so I'm going to do this one free of charge.
Oh, I appreciate that. What did you have in mind?
Well, first, I'll take you to him, but before I do, I just wanted to warn you that the guy I'm going to take you to, he may seem out of sorts, but you can trust him. He won't betray you. but he's also not going to share many of the details. What he does always works, but he has unconventional means, we'll say, if you take my understanding.
I see. All right. Well, there's always a first time for everything. Let's try to meet this guy.
And if I recall correctly, you had two others with you last time. Are they no longer traveling with you?
They have had some business to attend to before they met us here. So they will catch up with us.
Very well. Well, I will lead you to him. So he takes you away from the drunken gnome.
Okay.
Which means that unless Tegan and Hup are here by this point, then they're probably not going to follow.
Where did he take us out of?
He took you out of the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I don't know how far back they would have been.
I guess that's a good question. How far back would you guys have been?
We would have just been, like, a few paces behind, letting them get settled in, watching what's happening, and we were probably fixing to step in. We saw them go a different direction, and at that point, I think both of us have stealth, so we could probably stealth together, right? Hup?
I would imagine.
Okay, go ahead and give me a stealth check for both of you guys.
Be kind of like a Danny Kaye and...
Actually, you guys don't need to worry about stealth. You guys both are trained in stealth, so you guys can follow along. So yeah, he leads out into the alley behind, into another building that appears to be kind of like a warehouse-type building that's adjacent to the Drunken Gnome. Also against the wall. And inside here, he takes you to a door, opens up the door and says, you can find my contact down the stairs. And he holds the door open for all four of you.
Oh, well, that's awesome. So, you want to do a sense motive on this guy? I mean, are we leading us into a trap?
I trust him.
I'm trying to remember who he is. I don't remember if I trust him or not.
He's Aether's friend.
Yeah.
From what, though?
I would trust him to a point. I'm fairly trusting of him, yet he is a bit of a roguish type. So, you know, he is somewhat trustworthy.
I guess I would have told you guys that he knows that we helped Hammond and he's doing us a solid because of that.
Does the noble say it just like that? He does us a solid?
Solid.
I like it.
Exactly.
We're getting all gangsta up in here.
Yeah.
Hey, man, me and my homies, we're going to go down. We're going to take this guy out, man.
Different kind of gangster.
Oh. Not in the body. Okay, man.
So
I guess we'll trust him. Never mind.
Yeah.
So you all go down the stairs. There's a room. It has a couple torches in it, but it's really... in very shadowy light. It's difficult to see everything. But as you get closer, you can kind of see what's going on. He closes the door after everyone's down. He follows behind you carrying a torch. And he places it in a sconce on one of the walls, lighting the room slightly better. At this point, you see on the opposite side of the room, there are three figures, all behind a table. Two are standing, one is sitting. The leftmost of these figures is almost certainly a corpse, but still seems mobile. It's the corpse of a short yet bulky human. Most of the muscles on his body are still intact. He's wearing tattered clothes over light chainmail armor, and is standing at the ready on the left side of the table. On the right side of the table is another standing corpse. This one is much taller and skinnier. She looks like she was... possibly in life a noble of some sort, and she very likely must have been beautiful in life, with fair skin and sharp angular features. One eye and a portion of her left cheek are completely missing. but with her one remaining eye, she seems to have somewhat of an intelligence still remaining as she cautiously watches your group enter the room. Finally, sitting in the middle of the room, or middle of the table, or just behind the middle of the table, is a middle-aged man. You would guess probably in his late 40s, most likely. He's wearing a dark green robe with a brown cloak over his shoulders, the hood drawn up to cover the majority of his face, but not all, revealing only his nose and mouth to the light. He seems to smile gently when you enter the room and brings a bone smoking pipe up to his mouth with his left hand, takes a single puff of it, and exhales a sickly green smoke a short moment later. You also notice as he's taking a toke off of his pipe that there's an odd tattoo on his left hand, that a white tattoo of a lily flower. He gestures to a set of chairs in the room to sit at that you only now notice. The group sits in front of this gentleman behind the table. What does he want? What is he going to say? We'll have to come back next time to find out.
Oh man.
This is getting good.
All right.
So thank you everybody for tuning in again to Paper Pencil Dice. Again, as usual, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Discord. Give us a like. We're trying to get up to more listeners so we can start maybe pursuing some sponsorships for our podcast. Let us know if there's anything what you like, what you don't like, what we can improve, what you really want us to keep around. But until next time, hope that you have an excellent time with your paper, pencil, and dice. Hey, listeners, on March 23rd, I, Tony, the Dungeon Master of Paper, Pencil, Dice, will be on the live show, The Nerd Lounge, with the cast of Nerd HQ, a gaming organization and hangout in Davenport, Iowa. Check it out on their Facebook page, Nerd HQ QC. That's Nerd HQ QC. Live stream starts at 9 p.m. on Monday, March 23rd of 2020. Again, it's on the Facebook site, Nerd HQ QC. Hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.